الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, once again we brought another episode of our program Repentance for you, in which we will be covering repentance from different perspectives. Today, we will talk about repentance in the light of few prophetic sayings, and also we'll try to evaluate and try to reflect upon the concept of repentance through an example of if someone wastes something really precious that he may possess, and then what would be the state of his grief and regret upon wasting that very precious thing. Inshallah, we'll come back to this topic after listening to the virtue of reciting durood, sending peace and salutations upon the noble prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. We know that the day of judgment will be very severe, very difficult day. However, there will still be some fortunate people who will be among those who will be in peace, who will be free of every terror, every grief and fear on the Day of Judgment. Regarding this, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that, O people, undoubtedly from the terror and accountability of the Day of Judgment, the person who would attain the quick salvation will be the one who would have recited Salat upon me in abundance in this world, who would have sent salutations upon me in abundance in this world. That person will be free from the terror and accountability of the Day of Judgment. He will attain quick salvation from the accountability and terrors of the Day of Judgment. So again, a beautiful way we've been guided towards if we also want to attain salvation on the Day of Judgment. It is to recite durood, recite salat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in abundance in this world. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, there's a beautiful hadith before me which talks about regarding those who repent, how honored they are and what highly acclaimed rank they possess. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that At-ta'ibu habibullah. At-ta'ibu Habibullah, والتائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له, meaning that the one who repents is the friend of Allah Almighty. Subhanallah. What a beautiful glad tidings given in the first part of this hadith. التائب Habibullah, the one who repents, a repenter, is a friend of Allah. And then he goes on to say that والتائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له, that and the one who repents is like the one who has not sinned, who has not committed the sin at the first place. So this is the excellence of repenting, that one, a person becomes a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and two, it is as if he has not sinned at the first place. A beautiful virtue for those who repent. And then there's another beautiful hadith before me, which again highlights the importance and honor of those who repent, and how loved this act of repentance is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that Allah Almighty is pleased over the repentance of a believing person, of a mu'min, more than the person who stops at a dangerous place where he has his ride upon which he has food provisions as well. He lies down and falls a deep sleep. When he wakes up, his right is gone. Then he keeps looking for it to the extent that he feels extremely hot and thirsty and whatever Allah Almighty wills. And he says that, let me return to the same place where I was so that I may go back to sleep there until I die. So he places his head on his wrist. Then when he wakes up, he sees his right next to him, which also had food provisions on it. So as much as that person will be happy upon finding his right, Allah Almighty gets a lot more happier upon the repentance of a person. Subhanallah. What a beautiful glad tiding. What a beautiful virtue of repentance over here. We've been told in this hadith that Allah Almighty becomes so pleased with a person who makes sincere repentance. And this comparison has been given with a person who loses his right upon which he has his food provisions and all other necessary belongings as well. And he becomes so grieved, so sad upon losing it. He loses all his hopes, and he just lies there out of hopelessness, waiting to die. And all of a sudden he finds his right, his food provisions and all other necessities. Imagine how happy that person would become. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes more happier than even this person upon the one who repents in the court of Allah Almighty. And ulama, they've derived again a beautiful madani pearl from this hadith further. They state that the element of becoming pleased, of becoming happy, it indicates towards the fact that the action because of which this happiness is being expressed, this feeling of being pleased is being expressed, means that that very action because of which this feeling of happiness was expressed, that very action was accepted. Meaning that Allah Almighty is being happy over the repentance of the person because that action of repentance was accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this element of being happy over this repentance of the person means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted that repentance in his court. That's why Allah Almighty is being happy. So, beautiful point has been derived by ulama in this hadith. Because if the repentance is not accepted, then the element of joy, the element of happiness wouldn't be there. So Allah Almighty being so happy by the repentance of the person indicates that his repentance also gets accepted in the court of Allah Almighty. There's another beautiful hadith before me in which the Prophet ﷺ has elaborated on the fact that how can we have our sins forgiven. The Prophet ﷺ has stated that after committing a sin, perform a pious deed. It will erase the sin. It will eradicate the sin. So again, once if we commit a sin, then what should we do? We should perform a pious deed. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, that pious deed will make our sin forgiven. Now, dear viewers of Madani channel, what we need to understand is that every person's lust and desire overcomes his intellect. So that nature of a person which is a part of Satan overcomes the one that is the part of the angels. Meaning the nature of lust and desire which is associated with Satan the accursed, that overcomes a person's intellect which is associated with Malaika, with angels. Therefore, the actions one commits due to the desires, repenting from them is necessary upon a person, regardless of whoever he may be. So, the actions one commits as a result of his desires and his lust overcoming him, repenting over those actions is necessary upon a person, because the actions which are committed after desire and lust overcome a person, those actions are of course sins. Those actions which become a means of the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So repenting over them is necessary upon a person. And if a person performs actions which are led by intellect, if intellect overcomes lust and desires, then those actions are those which become a means of the pleasure of Allah Almighty. Because intellect is something which is attributed to Malaika, to angels. So there's this kind of a battle that goes within a person's nature, that at one side there is desires and lust, and on the other side we have the element of intellect. Both these attributes fight one another, and whichever overpower the other, overcome the other, that would actually determine the aftermath of the actions that a person performs. If desire and lust overcomes intellect, then the result of the actions which are then performed would require a person to repent. And if intellect overcomes desire and lust, then the aftermath of the actions that a person performs then will require a person to continue in those actions, because intellect would lead a person to perform those actions which bring about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, a person is not helpless in the fact of eradicating the effects of sins from his heart through performing pious deeds, because the effects of righteous actions are the opposite of the effects of sins, and it exists in the heart that at start is pure and clean, and then it darkens due to temporary things, meaning it darkens due to the actions that a person performs after desire and lust overcomes him. So the sinful actions that eradicate the piety of the heart, they eradicate the nur, the illumination, the light of the heart, and it makes darkness enter the heart. So the neat, pure, clean heart does not stay neat, pure, clean anymore. In fact, darkness prevails inside that heart. So once this happens, meaning a clean, pure heart gets overcome by darkness of sins, then what happens? Then it takes a lot of efforts and time to create the same light and cleanliness in the heart like before. Once sins have overcome you, desires and lust has overcome your intellect, your neat and pure heart has been overcome with the darkness of sins, with the darkness of wrongdoings, then it requires a lot of efforts to create the same illumination, the same light and cleanliness in the heart as it once existed before. So this is very important for us to understand, that we should not let the darkness of sins overcome us, which would then change the state of our hearts, which would then change the cleanliness, the nur, the illumination of our heart into darkness of sins. And then it will become very difficult for a person to go back to the previous stage where his heart was full of nur, illumination and piety and cleanliness. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, ponder upon the state of those righteous people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have the recognition of Allah Almighty, the ma'rifah of Allah Almighty, the most amongst the creation. Those who know duly the way of Allah, His hidden decree, and the concealed places that keep one deceived from Him. Those hidden places, those hidden things that keep a person deceived from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If saving oneself from the deception of the world is necessary for you once, saving yourself from the deception of this world is necessary for you once, then saving yourself from the bigger deceiver, i.e. Satan, the accursed, is a million times more important for you, because he will keep you away from repenting as well. Now these are those secrets that if a person acquires their fragrance, then he becomes familiar with them. If a person treading upon the path of Allah, even if he gets a lifespan of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, which was approximately 1600 years, still sincere repentance will be necessary for him, meaning refraining from sins and staying steadfast upon obedience. And this is wajib, obligatory, without any exemption. Even if a person has thousands of years of life, still staying sincere in repenting, in repentance, meaning he refrains from sins and stays steadfast upon the obedience of Allah Almighty, will still be necessary upon him, wajib upon him, without any exemption. no matter who he may be. So this concept we need to keep clear in our minds. There's a beautiful saying of Sayyidina Sulaiman Darani, rahimahullah, who elaborates on this matter very beautifully to make us understand this concept even more better. He states that if a wise person for rest of his life cries over the fact that he wasted his previous life without obedience and worship, then it is appropriate for him to stay in this grieved state for the rest of his life. So what should be the state of the one who remains prey to ignorance in future as well, just like in the past? So if a person, a pious person, he spends rest of his life regretting over his past, that he wasted his past. He wasted his past life, the moments of his life that he has spent, he has wasted them in negligence. If a wise person spends rest of his life under this regret, this is more appropriate for him. Then just imagine that what should be the state of the one who remains prey to ignorance in future as well as he has been ignorant in the past as well. He will need to be more considerate in this regard to a higher extent. What does this saying actually mean? It means that if a wise person gets fine and expensive pearl and he wastes that pearl without getting any benefit from it, then of course he would cry over it. And if wasting that pearl becomes a means of his destruction and ruin, then his crying and weeping will be even more severe. So every breath of life is a fine pearl which has no alternative. Nothing can replace it. This fine pearl has such quality that it can make you reach the everlasting honor, saving you from the eternal misfortune. What else would be more precious than this? What else would be more precious than our breaths? What else would be more precious than our moments of this life? Therefore, if you waste this in heedlessness, meaning these moments, these precious moments of your life, if you waste them in heedlessness, then you will face open loss. You will suffer open loss. And if you use it in sins, then you will face the most destructive destruction. Now, if you don't cry over this calamity, then it will be due to your ignorance. And the calamity you face due to your ignorance is the biggest calamity out of all the calamities that you can face. However, ignorance is such a calamity that he who faces calamity because of it, meaning who faces calamity because of ignorance, he doesn't even realize that he is facing a calamity, because the sleep of heedlessness becomes an obstacle between him and his ma'rifah, meaning between him and his recognition of that calamity, that he's suffering a calamity. And the truth is that people are sleeping the sleep of negligence, the sleep of heedlessness. They will wake up when they will die. At that time, every poor person will recognize his poverty, and every calamity-stricken person will realize his calamity. But it won't be able to expiate for anything at that very time. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, what do we learn from this explanation of this saying of Sayyidina Sulaiman Darani rahimahullah? That if a person loses a very expensive pearl, then of course he'll regret over it. But then, if that becomes a means of his destruction, then he will even, you know, become more regretful and remorseful over it. Then, the example of our breaths, these moments of our life, are similar to that precious pearl, or in fact, even more than that, because these breaths can make us reach the rank of elevation, the rank of honor, saving us from the eternal misfortune. And that rank of honor will be perpetual. It will be eternal, everlasting, forever. And it can save us from everlasting destruction, devastation. This is the worth of our breaths, of these moments of our life that we've been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we waste these moments, these breaths in negligence, not using them to make us achieve the rank of honor, then on the Day of Judgment, when those ranks will be in front of us and we will realize that we could have attained those ranks by using our breaths in accordance to the will of Allah Almighty, then imagine how remorseful and regretful we will be at that moment of time. And then, not only this, if we not only waste these moments, but then use them in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in sins, then imagine that the same breaths will become a means of our ruin, our destruction. Then this fine jewel, this fine pearl, which is in the shape of our breaths that we have, why not use it for our eternal honor, eternal well-being, eternal fortune, which can make us reach the ranks of honor, the ranks of elevation in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we want to use this pearl of our breaths to attain, ma'azallah, the everlasting misfortune, or waste it in negligence, in heedlessness? Another beautiful example, Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhu al-Aliyah gives in his booklet, Priceless Diamonds. He mentions an account right at the very beginning of this beautiful booklet. He says that a king was passing by somewhere, and as soon as he was passing by a garden, he came across someone throwing pebbles at him. Now, he got his ministers, his soldiers who accompanied him together, and he asked them to bring the person who's throwing these pebbles at me, bring him in my court. So those ministers, his courtiers, they go to the garden, to the orchard, where a person was throwing those pebbles out of the garden on the king, and they tell him that you've been summoned in the court of the king. So that person is taken in the court of the king, and the king asks him that, do you know the worth of these pebbles? And the person replies in negation. He says, no, I don't know about the worth of these pebbles. I was just, you know, I found them in the garden and I was just throwing them away. And coincidentally, you got struck by them. Then the king said that these pebbles are not any ordinary pebbles. In fact, they are priceless diamonds. Now, that person became very, very remorseful, and he felt he regretted this action of his, that he didn't know the worth of those pebbles. He thought they're ordinary pebbles, but in fact, they were priceless diamonds. Had he known about this, he wouldn't have thrown them away in negligence. He would have brought them into use and become a wealthy person. But now, because of his ignorance, he threw those pebbles away, which were in fact priceless diamonds. And now he has nothing to do but regret. All he can do is regret. And same is the case with our priceless breaths, which also serve as those priceless diamonds which we have, through which we can attain the highest ranks in paradise with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just like that person who, out of ignorance, was wasting those pebbles, was wasting those priceless diamonds, we're doing the same. We are wasting these priceless breaths out of negligence. On the Day of Judgment, we will realize that how precious they were. We could have attained highest ranks in paradise because of them, but we wasted them. On the contrary, many of us are using these breaths to, ma'adullah, be casted in the hellfire, to get eternal misfortune. How sad we would be on that day when we will see all this in front of us. So appreciate these breaths, these priceless pearls, diamonds that we have. Appreciate them, bring them into use together, the provisions for the hereafter, so that it can become a means for attaining the everlasting honor rather than everlasting and eternal misfortune. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to value and appreciate these breaths that we have. And may Allah Almighty enable us to use these breaths in the matters that would bring about His pleasure, and that would make us attain highest of the ranks on the Day of Judgment. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Oh, forgive me. Oh, forgive me. Have mercy on me. Guide me. Have mercy on me. Guide me.